When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Podcast Royal, listeners. So I got to see you, Jessica, this past weekend, and it was lovely. It was so good to have a meal with you. I had missed you so much.
I know. It was so much fun. And you know what? I liked that we switched it up. We used to always do dinner, but this time we got to do a weekday lunch, and that was
kind of... We never do that. So that was like, I think that might be one of like, if that might be the first time we've ever done a weekday lunch.
No, remember we were on that mission for like several years ago to try different restaurants, and we did a few lunches. I specifically remember going to, listeners may not get this, but there's a French restaurant called Chez Fon Fon.
And yes, we did go to Chez Fon Fon for lunch. Yes, we did.
Out on their patio.
Yes, we did. Okay, I stand corrected. And then we went back to Chez Fon Fon like years later, either during COVID or like right after COVID. And anyway.
It is my favorite.
I digress. I love Chez Fon Fon. And I always come to recording so hungry. And yet again, I'm starving. And Chez Fon Fon's fries, their steak frites. Oh my gosh. Anyway, yeah. we better change the subject, or I'm gonna have a stomach growling all episode long. But you are right. We have done a few lunches, but mostly dinners.
Listeners, if you make it to Birmingham, try Chez Fon Fon.
Absolutely. It is Frank Stitt, and it's just delicious. And now obviously I was just in Birmingham this past weekend. That's where I saw you, and we were there for a wedding, and I could have eaten my way through town, and I kind of did, but I didn't make it to Chez Fon Fon. So next time. Okay. Well, as we kick off episode 140, I have a trivia question for you to start the episode. So as ever, I feel like we don't have to say this at this point, but for new listeners, we always record the podcast on Tuesday night. So yesterday, May 6th was Met Monday. It was the Met Gala, and the first Monday in May. And so I have a trivia question for you, and listeners, you too. Do you know that there have only been two members of the British royal family to ever attend the Met? So I'm going to ask you, who are those women? I guess I gave that away. They're women. And what years did they attend?
So I actually do know who they are, only because I've been looking at so much Met Gala fashion, past and present, over this week. And so I've seen some photos of royals attending the event, but I can't tell you the year. So why don't you tell me and the listeners?
Okay, well, Princess Diana, as ubiquitous as she was in culture and fashion, only attended one Met. Can you believe that? I mean, I guess the Met in the 90s wasn't quite what it is today. For example, it was held in December back in 1996 when she attended. But Princess Diana attended one and only one Met. 1996, she was wearing John Galliano for Dior. And then the second was Princess Beatrice in 2018. So much more recently, 22 years later, in Alberta Ferretti. So Charlotte Kazraya of Monaco, who is Princess Grace's granddaughter, and then Queen Rania of Jordan have also attended. And Kate and Meghan, by the way. So I think people might think, okay, well, maybe it's Kate and Meghan, but they have never attended. And I wonder if Meghan might have attended this year. Who knows? But everything always happens on May 6th, which is Archie's birthday. So yesterday was Archie's birthday. So last year was the coronation. This year it was the Met. So they weren't there. But Kate and Meghan, not William and Kate and Harry and Meghan, but Kate and Meghan without their husbands, are Anna Wintour's dream Met guests together. I don't think that dream's going to come true for Anna Wintour, but if it does, I would love to see it. So I actually worked, not in person, obviously, but I worked coverage of the Met last night, and I know we're going to talk about some of our favorite dresses, but Met Monday is pretty exciting. First Monday in May.
Yeah, I really loved the theme for this year. So it was Sleeping Beauty's Reawakening Fashion, and it had a dress code that was described as the Garden of Time, which I thought was really, really fun and whimsical. And so, like you mentioned, let's chat about our best dress. I want to hear yours.
Yes, oblige us, listeners. So that's a tough question because there were so many unique fashions last night, but I loved Nicole Kidman and Balenciaga, just such a classic beauty. I loved, actually, I caught her on the red carpet explaining like why she chose the dress, and it just, she gets fashion. She's a fashion person. Gigi Hadid and Tom Brown, the dress is fine, but it was Gigi's hair and just her whole aesthetic. I don't know if you saw that. It was like a blonde bob, like very old Hollywood glamour. She looked amazing. And then same kind of thing. I liked Amanda Seyfried's Prada dress well enough, but her look, like the whole, like the thing about the Met is like that differs from like a Oscars red carpet or whatever. It's a costume gala,
yeah,
right? And so they're like, they take risks that they wouldn't take at the Oscars or the Emmys or whatever. And I think Amanda dyed her hair silver or gray or something like that. And she had
yeah.
that head. It was just beautiful. And then, okay, Jennifer Lopez co-chaired the event with Zendaya, Bad Bunny, and Chris Hemsworth. And of course, Anna Wintour. And look, she wore I can't ever say this is not Schiaparelli. And I told my boyfriend last night, I said, if I had, and this might be inappropriate, so I'm sorry, but if I had Jennifer Lopez's bottom, I would wear my bottom out every day of my life, which is what she did. And
she wasn't the only one showing off a lot of skin.
No. Though there was a lot of skin on the carpet last night, but there's so many more I could have chosen. I would like to hear your picks though.
Yeah, well, I also love the costume factor of this event. This is probably my favorite kind of red carpet dress-up event that we see. To me, my best dress was Elle Fanning in Balmain.
Yeah, she was beautiful.
Oh my gosh, I loved that. To me, it was truly a piece of art. I also agree Jennifer Lopez looked beautiful. I loved Mindy Kaling's look. Very stunning. And I don't know if you saw Pamela Anderson.
I did, yeah.
Oscar de la Renta, and I thought she looked very pretty as well. I love that look.
Yeah, and she actually had some makeup on because you know she's been doing this makeup free thing forever, and she wore some makeup and she always looks beautiful. And so yeah, I mean there were endless looks to choose from, but it's so much fun. I look forward to it every year. So okay, we digress, but shall we get into what the listeners came for? And that is the Royal Rundown. So okay, well, so we dropped our last episode on May 1st. The next day, May 2nd, was Princess Charlotte's 9th birthday. So we got a birthday photo. Love that the tradition continues. We also have a brief update from her father, Prince William, about Kate and about just kind of everything. So let's get into it. So the Prince and Princess of Wales, as expected, released a photo for Charlotte's 9th birthday last Thursday. They were very simple with their captions, as they have been. They captioned it, "Happy 9th birthday, Princess Charlotte. Thank you for all of the kind messages today." Photo credit, as ever, was given to her mother, the Princess of Wales. So in the photo, listeners, I'm sure you've seen this. Jessica, I know you have. Charlotte is smiling at the camera. She's leaning on kind of a flowery hedge, if you will. And we'll talk about that in a second, but she's wearing a maroon cardigan and a denim skirt. So really sweetly, this photo contained actually kind of a hidden secret tribute to the late Queen Elizabeth, her great grandmother. So the flowers that Charlotte is standing next to are actually called Clematis Elizabeth, which is one of the first plants named after her late majesty. So right. And then I want to get your opinion on that, because I thought that was so sweet how they do these nods to Diana, to her late majesty. And I thought that was sweet.
I agree. I think that makes part of getting these pictures so much fun, to see little surprises like that.
I know. And I love the people who find like these things. I can't say that I figured that one out on my own. But so right around her birthday, her dad, William, was out at an engagement. He's fully back to work. And he was asked how his family was doing. And he replied, "We're all doing well, thank you." And then the person pressed and asked, and obviously Catherine, and he reiterated, "We're all doing well." So I hope he means that. I mean, I hope that's not just a party line. But it's good to hear those encouraging, and I know we have another encouraging health update later in the episode, but it's good to hear these encouraging health updates, as you know, we've got three royals that are battling cancer. So thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Of course, I hope they're all doing well. But, you know, I also feel like he is allowed to have a really vague response like that, or kind of a general answer. I feel like it's a little bit rude to ask directly how, you know, something so personal like that at a public engagement.
Yeah, I think it's totally cool to send, like, give your well wishes, but it's obvious what that person was going for. And I honestly don't know if it was a journalist or if it was just a well wisher, but regardless, obviously they were massively fishing for information. And at some point, it's just not our business, you know?
Right. And it's not nice to put someone on the spot like that.
With all the cameras around and everybody watching. So, yeah.
Well, while we're on birthdays, did you see the cute Instagram message that Princess Eugenie posted for Jack's birthday?
I did. They're such a sweet couple.
They are. Yeah. So he turned 38 last week, and which I kind of forgotten for a second that he was that much older than her. I mean, it's not like a ton, but
I'll be 38 in September. So let's not call that
well,
much
she,
older. But
yeah, but she's
she
in
is
her
younger.
What, early 30s. So yeah. I just forgot that they had that age difference. But we got a photo of the two of them. So she shared a few. I don't think we had seen all of these before. First, there was the two of them at the Anti-Slavery Collective Gala. And then there was one of Jack on the beach with their son, August.
I loved that
some
one.
Kind of like seaweed or something on his head.
I like
and
that.
And then she also shared another photo of them together. They kind of have an arm around each other. You can see the sun setting in the background behind them. And then we got a fun little video. So Jack was walking alongside August on a sidewalk, and August was riding a scooter in a Spider-Man costume. And so that was really fun to see. And she does a great job of sharing kind of those behind the scene pictures that we wouldn't normally get to see. So
yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, she's really good on Instagram. You know, Beatrice is still not on Instagram, at least not publicly. Edo is, but I just appreciate that Eugenie is one of the few royals that isn't like behind the royal family account or the prince and princess. Like, it's her. So I love that. And happy birthday, Jack. It's just, it really is the season of birthdays and anniversaries and all the celebrations. So we're going to take it way, way, way back in time to May of 1979. To be specific, I thought this story was really interesting when I came across it this week. So, what is believed to be Princess Diana's first job application or work contract for the nanny agency Solve Your Problem Limited, which I would like to like employ Solve Your Problem Limited. I have a few problems that I'd like for them to solve. But anyway, back in May 1979, the work contract sold at auction for $10,500. Do you think that's too much? Like, do you think that's I mean, it is in her handwriting. So what is that a staggering amount to you?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like some of her stuff goes for really high. But when you think about what some of her clothing items have sold for,
true.
Paper like that, that does seem like a pretty high price for that item.
It's literally a piece of paper, but it is written in her handwriting. So the application, as I said, is handwritten. It actually includes a lie about her age. So Diana was 17 at the time. She put her date of birth as July 1st, 1960, when her actual date of birth was July 1st, 1961. So it can be assumed that she did this to make herself appear to be over 18 years old. And the fib was apparently caught at some point as nearly 18 was written in blue ink next to her date of birth. So somebody caught the lie. But the application also included her address at the time, her phone number, her religion, her desired start date, and she wrote soon as possible for that. Her skills listed included cook basic, which girl same, like I got you, housework, animals, and ballet dancer. So that's interesting. And she obviously made an impression in the interview, as what appears to be a note from an application reviewer reads at the lower part of the form, lovely girl, send anywhere. And of course we know that I don't know if she got, like, if she was employed with that specific nanny agency, but we do know that she was a nanny and a nursery school teacher before she got married 2 years later in July of 1981. So that's pretty cool. I mean, that I wonder, like, where that's been for all of these years, right? Because, you know, it's been, I wonder who unearthed that, and somebody's sitting on $10,500 for finding it. So I thought that was a cool story.
Very cool.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Invictus Games. So obviously we'll talk about this in a second. Harry has touched down in the UK. He got, I don't know if he must have gotten in today at some point Tuesday, because yesterday, as I said, was Archie's birthday, and he missed, I know Harry missed at least a large chunk of it last year because of the coronation, but we know that the Invictus Games will return to a country that it has been before in 2027. Interestingly, it's kind of a battle between Harry's past and Harry's present. So it's either going to be the UK, where, of course, Prince Harry is from, we don't have to tell you that, or the US, where he now lives. So the two cities that are the finalists to host the 2027 Games are Birmingham, which England, the England version, not the Alabama version, sadly, and Washington, D.C. So both countries have hosted the Games before. The UK hosted the very first Invictus Games in 2014 in London, and the US hosted the next iteration of the Games in 2016 when they were in Orlando, which is like 2 hours from where I live now, and I would be there with bells on if I were here in 2016, but I wasn't. So the process to find the 2027 host city actually started back in 2023, and the final decision from the Invictus Games Board of Trustees is expected to be made by the end of July. So speaking of Harry, we've said this, Archie's fifth birthday was yesterday. The family celebrated privately. And Harry headed off to the UK for the Invictus Games 10-year celebration, which is tomorrow, May 8th. And then Harry and Meghan are off to Nigeria from there. And then their anniversary is in about 10 days. So May is a busy month for them. And also, I want to point out briefly that yesterday, Monday, May 6th, was the one-year anniversary of the coronation, which how did that happen?
I know. Wow.
Unbelievable. But I want to talk about this really, really briefly. And that is, we found out today, Tuesday, that obviously Harry's in the UK. He undertook some engagements ahead of tomorrow's service of Thanksgiving, which is going to mark the 10-year anniversary of the Invictus Games. And Harry will give a reading at that at St. Paul's Cathedral. I think we said that in a previous episode. But everyone was wondering, kind of the big buzz was if Harry was going to get to see his father, King Charles, while he was in the UK. But that unfortunately does not appear to be happening, and this is official, so it's not just sources or whatever. A spokesperson for Harry said, in response to the many inquiries and continued speculation on whether or not the Duke will meet with his father while in the UK this week, it unfortunately will not be possible due to His Majesty's full program. The Duke, of course, is understanding of his father's diary of commitments and various other priorities and hopes to see him soon. So we know that Charles went back to work public-facing duties last week, and he has his Wednesday meeting with Prime Minister Sunak. Every Wednesday, there's a garden party tomorrow, and then I don't know when Harry is leaving for Nigeria, but it seems to be a pretty quick trip, so it doesn't appear that they were able to make that happen, which I think that's disappointing. So I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on this, other than it being obviously disappointing that they're not going to get to connect.
Yeah, well, you know, I think if you had asked me to predict if they would have time to see each other last week, I would have said, yes, I expect them to probably find a few minutes in their schedules to get together. But I don't know if I'm actually all that surprised. You know, like you said, it's kind of a brief stopover in the UK, and the king does have a full schedule, and we are thankfully starting to see him at a lot more of these public events. And we'll talk about another one a little bit later on in the episode. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, it is challenging when you've got two people with very full schedules and they're kind of crossing paths. It's, you know, it just makes it, you know, there's a lot of challenges there. So I don't think I'm actually super surprised. I think I would be surprised if he was there, you know, in London for an extended period of time, or specifically doing something with the royal family. Obviously, that would be a lot more surprising.
I hope that, and we'll know more, I guess, at our next episode, but I hope that somebody from the family, whether it's Eugenie or Beatrice is in New York City. So I don't know if she'll even be in the country, but I hope somebody, because the Invictus Games 10-year anniversary is a big deal. That's monumental. And I hope that, you know, Meghan's not with Harry. And so I hope, at least not in the UK. And so I hope somebody from like Peter Phillips, come on. Or like, you know, Mike Tindall, somebody come out. I don't know. But it's times like these when you remember that this is a business, you know, this is, the the crown comes first. And so I'm disappointed for Harry. They only saw each other briefly back in February. I think it was like 30 minutes, but I don't know. I wish things were different, but anyway, so that's that. So hopefully we'll have good news next episode about how Eugenie or Jack or somebody, Edo, went to this St. Paul's Cathedral thing on May 8th, but we'll see what happens.
Well, like you said, we've got a lot of busy schedules and we are in this season of big events. So we've got a lot to look forward to. You know, we've already gotten started with Harry's Invictus game. And then we had the Windsor Royal Horse Show happen this past weekend. Did you see that?
I actually didn't. We were super tied up with this wedding that we were at, and I missed it. But I know that Louise was there, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So Lady Louise was there. She was actually volunteering at the event, and of course, her parents Edward and Sophie were there, as well as her younger brother James. So we know how much Lady Louise loves horses and carriage driving. And I thought it was really fitting to see her there working at this event. It was fun to get some pictures out of that. So we saw several images of her online in her volunteer attire. She had on this navy zip-up vest with the event logo. It said Royal Windsor Horse Show on the chest, and she had it paired with a matching navy fedora hat and some really cute brown glasses. And then, you know, I think she was riding like an electrical bike kind of around the event space and had her volunteer tag on. The Royal Windsor Horse Show is an annual event. It's actually been going on since 1943. And surprise, surprise, I said I was going to mention this, but in addition to the Edinburghs, King Charles was able to attend this event. So
Is this when they hugged?
Yeah. So we saw him greeting Zara Tyndall. She was there. And the king was able to watch from the royal box. So really, really good news to see him at that event. A happy little weekend bit of news to report. And then we also had, like you said, Princess Beatrice. She was attending a few events of her own over the weekend. So first, we had a little surprise when we learned that she was in the U.S. of A. And she was specifically in your state. She was in Florida at the F1 Miami Grand Prix. And then, like you said, we saw her again at New York City, and she was at the top of the Empire State Building. She posed for a photo up there, and she was actually there for an event with the Outward Bound Trust. It's an educational charity that conducts these like challenging adventure courses. I think they're kind of designed to build confidence in young people. And so they do a lot of different challenges. They had actually organized a rappel off of the Empire State Building on May 6th. And as part of that event, she was there supporting, and she did an interview on ITV's This Morning talk show. I know you got some news from that, Rachel. I don't know if our listeners saw this, but while she was on the show, they actually asked her about her mother, Fergie, in light of her health concerns over the past year. And we got some good news. So Beatrice said that her mom is doing really well and she is thriving. She said, and I'm going to quote her. She said, "She's had a bumpy health scare last year, but all clear now." And then she made a few other comments about her mom. And she went on to say, "Both my sister and I are so proud of her for taking those steps to get those checks. And it really modeled our health considerations on that." So as a quick reminder for listeners, last year, Fergie dealt with both breast cancer and a skin cancer diagnosis. And she, along with King Charles and the Princess of Wales, of course, have been in our prayers. So really happy to get that positive update on her health and to hear that she is doing well and she's all clear. Yeah. I think it's also really fun to see Beatrice in the U.S. and, you know, taking some photos, especially in New York. What a fun place to go visit.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that Beatrice lived in New York for a number of years. Like when she went to the Met back in 2018, she was living there at the time. And which is funny, I guess, because the Met obviously was last night and she was there, but she didn't go. Or at least she didn't walk through it. She didn't go. But it's so good to hear this update about Fergie. I mean, that's like what you want to hear. I want to hear the same thing for everybody, for the King, the Princess of Wales, and the Duchess of York. So this is great news to have, again, been diagnosed with breast cancer last year, beat it, and then at the top of this year, like within the first couple of weeks of the year, be diagnosed with malignant melanoma. It just seems incredibly unfair, but I'm so happy that the news is good.
In light of all this good news, do you think that maybe she will bring back her podcast for a second season this summer? I know you and I both loved listening to that.
I loved that show. I mean, I hope so. Obviously, her health comes first, right? But it sounds like she's got the all clear. So yes, please bring back Tea Talks. Like, that was seriously one of my favorite podcasts of maybe ever. It was just so much fun. So yeah, bring it all back. But I mean, she needs to take care of herself first, but I would love to see that.
I would too. Well, Rachel, I think that's all we've got in the Royal Rundown for this week.
I like it. I like the good news and, you know, some disappointing news in there, but you know, that's a good size. That's a manageable size Royal Rundown. So I know we've got everybody's traveling around, Royals around the world. So I know that we've got a lot of travel happening that you're going to tell us about.
Yeah, we've got a lot to talk about in Royals around the world. Lots of stuff going on. I mean, this really is the start of a full season for all of our Royals. So the first update, a little bit on Japan. Last week, we did share the news that King Charles and Queen Camilla plan to host the Emperor and Empress of Japan in the UK this June. So that's coming up pretty quickly. Yeah. And then shortly after we got that news, a portrait of the Emperor and Empress was released on their social media in honor of the emperor celebrating 5 years in his current role as monarch. And this, I thought this was kind of interesting. So he became monarch in 2019. And then we had the COVID pandemic, which really limited their ability to travel internationally. So their first overseas trip in their role as emperor and empress was not until 2022. And it was actually to the UK to attend the late Queen Elizabeth's funeral. So now, you know, they are headed back to the UK again 1 year after King Charles' coronation. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, the Japanese imperial family is so they are private, but they're just not as public facing. They're on Instagram now. We reported about that a couple of weeks ago. So I would like to know more about this royal family, and we will continue obviously to report on them.
Definitely. Okay. So we also had a few state visits going on this week that I wanted to share. So our Swedish royals, I mean, they are super everywhere. Busy right now. Yeah. So on Monday, just after they finished hosting Finland last week, they welcomed King Frederick and Queen Mary of Denmark for a state visit. Of course, you know, this is the Danish king and queen's first visit to Sweden following Frederick's accession to the throne. And they arrived in Stockholm on Monday, and they were welcomed by the Swedish royal family. They had lunch. They had a boat ride. They did a group photo. We actually got two group pictures so far from this event. One was upon their arrival at the royal palace, and then they had another more formal one at the state banquet later that evening, which I did share on our Instagram account if our listeners are following us out there. But something I thought was really interesting to mention here, before Frederick was king, both Mary and Victoria were crown princesses of their respective countries. Now that Mary is queen, we actually got to see Crown Princess Victoria curtsy to Mary for the first time. And so it was a show of respect to Mary. And I have to imagine being in those roles, it's got to be so tough to remember these changes and to have to go from not curtsying to someone to having to remember to do that for the first time. Especially, you know, in front of cameras at these big events, it just seems like a lot of pressure to remember that all eyes are on you and you've got to do this. Don't you think so?
Oh, yeah. Especially since, you know, they've known each other. I mean, Mary and Frederick have been married for 20 years. And so they've been interacting in one way for two decades. And now everything's changed. But I did see that, and I thought that was really interesting.
We also got, like I said, some photos from this event. It's specifically the state banquet is what I want to talk about. Like I said, they're super busy right now. I feel like the palace staff is just working overtime planning these back-to-back formal events. This dinner was as stunningly beautiful as it was for the Finland visit. Again, with the gilded walls, the full place settings, crystal chandeliers, pink floral arrangements down the center of the long tables. So a few of the menu items that were included this go around, you can tell me if this sounds good, Rachel. Dill boiled sea lobster with horseradish, minced calf with dragon herb, sherry, primers, and curl tops a la creme, and Sea Tower with pistachio croquant, herbal sorbet, and brown butter.
That sounds amazing. And like,
yeah, it does.
Like, boom, boom, boom. It's, I have to tell you, I'm sure that, what is it, fresh rot is delicious, but everything you just said sounds far more appealing to me than the other.
Yeah, it sounds good. It looked good too. I saw some of the photos online. But okay, so let's chat about fashion from this event. Queen Mary was in this champagne colored full skirt, and she had it paired with a top that was sort of like a sheer looking top, and it had this maroon colored like sequin embellishments all over. And what I thought was interesting was both the top and the skirt are from past seasons, from 2017 and 2018. And then she paired her outfit with a really gorgeous ruby and diamond perruque tiara, that's hard to say, and it tied in perfectly with the colors on her dress. So I mean, I will say, I don't know if it was like my most favorite outfit that I've ever seen her in, but it was very pretty.
It's interesting. And the color is different, but gorgeous. I like actually how those colors pair.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. So then we saw Queen Sylvia. She was in an emerald gown, and I'm thinking emerald must be one of her preferred colors because we saw her in that not too long ago at an event. So the top portion of this dress was like a fitted long sleeve lace style top, and she was in a sapphire and diamond tiara called the Lichtenberg Sapphire Perruque. And I am happy to report I did not notice any redness in Queen Sylvia's eye.
That's the first thing I looked at. That was the first thing I looked at, and I don't notice it either. So
yeah, unless I missed it, I think it's cleared up. So we're all good there.
Thank God, because that was looking a little rough for a minute, but thank God she's better.
Okay, so then we had Crown Princess Victoria and Princess Sophia, and they were styling something that I'm really into right now. We've talked a lot about it on the podcast. Both ladies were in that gorgeous trending ice blue color for their dresses. So Victoria's was a little more fitted. It was covered in sparkles. It had kind of a wider neckline that kind of slightly draped. And to me, it was really giving slight Greek goddess vibes, I felt like.
Yep.
She was in the Connaught diamond tiara. And then lastly, Sophia's dress had a much fuller skirt than Victoria's. It had also had a very high neckline, more kind of like a turtleneck. And then she had 3/4-length sleeves with these monochromatic floral embellishments kind of all throughout the top. And of course, she was in her favorite wedding tiara with the blue topaz toppers. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I put some photos in our notes here, Rachel. I want to know which one is your favorite dress and which one is your favorite tiara.
Okay, just give me like 1 second to finish staring at Carl Phillips. So just let me. God, my God, he's in uniform. Okay.
Seriously. I'm delaying the listener over here.
Ooh, okay. So this does not happen very often, especially when we have 4 different looks. But I think for the first time in a long time that all 4 of these women knocked it out of the park. I mean, they look beautiful.
Yeah,
I have some that I prefer more than others, but I truly think that these looks are unique. They're interesting. I will tell you my favorite in a second, but I don't think that there is a miss here. And that is not always the case. I think that Mary and Sylvia's are incredibly interesting in it. And I really do like this color combination that I kind of wasn't expecting from Mary, but Victoria and Sophia are stunning. Like, those colors are incredible. And I mean, everybody just looks so beautiful. So, okay, it's going to be like top to bottom Sophia for me today. She, I love that tiara. It's probably my favorite tiara from royals around the world. And this dress is just so unique and interesting and unexpected. And the ice blue color is just gorgeous. And she just looks absolutely radiant. I'm looking at this, like, do you see that piece like at the top, like applique or whatever it is?
Mm-hmm. That's that floral piece.
Yeah, that floral piece. I could do without that, but I mean, just wow, like she takes my breath away. And Victoria looks great too. So it would be a toss-up between those two, but I'm gonna go with Sophia. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think on the dress, I love Sophia's dress. I think it's beautiful. If I'm picking a tiara, it's hard to tell in these photos, but if you zoom into Mary's tiara, that is stunning. I
Yeah.
mean, hands down, my favorite tiara with the rubies and the diamonds. Just a really, really beautiful headpiece. So, listeners,
Yeah.
if you, I'll try to share these on our Instagram, but if you happen to see them online, check out Queen Mary's tiara.
I love the necklines on both Sophia and Victoria because they're very different necklines. Like Victoria's is like a scoop neck. It probably would have been overdone if she would have done a big necklace or something like that, but her neck does look a little bare. But Sophia's neckline is like the exact opposite. As you said, it's a turtleneck, but wow, these are some great, unique, not out of the box. Like they're just very out of the box and different, but gorgeous looks. I'm wowed over here.
Okay, so one more item worth mentioning in Royals Around the World this week. We did have another tiara moment from Norway, and I feel like we're in this season where winter is officially over in some of these chillier countries, and they're coming out of hibernation. They're ready to
They're
play. So,
defrosting.
yeah, now this event wasn't two royal families, but we did have a state visit. So the Norway royals, our Norwegian royals, I should say, welcomed the president of Moldova for a state visit this week. And this is actually the very first time a Moldovan president has visited Norway in an official capacity.
Cool.
So that's kind of a fun fact. And they had a formal welcoming ceremony where they sang both national anthems, and they said on their website that the purpose of this evening, of this, I'm sorry, of this event was to signify strengthening ties between both of these two countries. So they had a gala dinner following the day's events. Obviously, that was hosted by the king and queen. And then we had Crown Prince Haakon and Crown Princess Mette-Marit also in attendance there. I feel like we don't really get all of the nitty-gritty details from Norway that we get from Sweden when it comes to these big fancy dinners. They're, I don't know, if you go really digging online, there might be some more photos out there, but they're not as easy to find as Sweden's. And that is one thing that I really love about Swedish royal events is they're pretty open in sharing like their menu items with the public and, pictures of the banquet hall. The Belgian royals are kind of good about that too. And it's just so much fun to follow along with that content.
Oh yeah, I'm obsessed with this. I mean, the Swedish royals have been that staff is exhausted. Like they're like fall down exhausted from all these galas and events and stuff.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the fashion at this event. Crown Princess Mette-Marit was in a pink floral dress by Carolina Herrera, which, interestingly enough, is, surprise, surprise, from 2018. It's from an older collection. It's very similar, I thought, to how Queen Mary of Denmark also wore things from 2017 and 2018 on the same evening for her formal event. So kind of cool there. Mette-Marit was in the amethyst tiara that she had paired with that pink dress. And Rachel, I don't know if you're ready for this, but Queen Sonia was in none other than an ice blue dress for this
Man,
event.
that's the
So
trend. That's the trend. It's, I love that color.
I think it's where it is this season. And if any of our listeners, if you've got an upcoming event and you're trying to decide what to wear, I would suggest looking for something in ice blue if you want to be in royal trends. So her dress was a full skirt, and then she had this kind of shawl style overlay piece on the top. She had it paired with a multi-strand pearl necklace and a diamond tiara topped with pearls. I do also want to mention a little bit of good news here. So King Harald was in attendance for this event. Really happy to see he's doing well. He was
Good.
able to participate in the state visit and the gala dinner. So, and I did put a picture here of our inner notes, Rachel, of the dresses and tiaras here. I don't know if you have any thoughts.
Love the ice blue. I love Carolina Herrera, but this dress is not really doing it for me. I want to hear your thoughts, but maybe it's the sleeves. I'm not sure. I just, you know what? I just, it's not hidden for me. I love Wes Gordon. I love Carolina Herrera, but this maybe it's just because they were following the fashion hits from Sweden and Denmark. But what do you think of this? It's just not really doing it for me.
Yeah, so what I will say about this dress is this pink color is incredibly flattering on Mette-Marit. I
It
think
is.
it
It's
brings
a good
out,
color for her.
brings out color in her face and rosiness in her cheeks. And I think it's definitely fitting for her. I think what you're missing on this dress is it is significantly less formal feeling than our other royal dresses. To me, it feels more like a lightweight, kind of a summer maxi dress style.
It's like a garden party dress, not a banquet dress.
Right. Yeah. And so I think that's what's off about this dress. I would agree. And I'm kind of surprised. I feel like our Norwegian royals, some of them tend to go for this more kind of bohemian style, which
I think Mette Marit is more bohemian, which is fine. That's her aesthetic. But and again, like, it just surprises me because I love Caroline Herrera. But anyway.
Well, the bohemian style is a little bit unexpected to me. But I would agree. Yeah, I would say for a state banquet like this, I would look maybe for something that feels a little bit heavier and more formal. I think the queen's outfit, the formality of what she's wearing doesn't necessarily match Crown Princess Mette Marit. So I think that's
like,
where we're missing.
Is in like full uniform. Maybe I'm just floraled out after the Met last night where like everyone was in florals. But no, I mean, Mette Marit looks beautiful, but this just isn't my personal favorite dress.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's so much fun to follow these events. Like I said, we've got more coming up, I believe, on our calendar. Our Danish royals will actually be in Norway next week. So they're going from Sweden to Norway. So we've just got a bunch of stuff to follow along and a lot going on with our British royals as well that I'm really excited about.
Yes. And you do have a housekeeping announcement for next week, right?
Yeah, so this wraps up our episode. We have finished chatting about all of our Royals Around the World updates. Next week, we will not have an episode. I've got some other things scheduled next week, so we won't have time to record. But otherwise, we'll be back following that.
Yeah, so. And we'll see all the tiara moments and fashion moments and trying to think about what we'll have a Nigeria visit to report on. So we'll have plenty to say in 2 weeks' time.
For sure. Well, please come hang out with us on Instagram. We are at Podcast Royal. If you don't already follow us out there, you can also contact us if you have questions or comments or anything you want us to chat about. You can send us an email at hellopodcastroyal@gmail.com. Please also go follow the show. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, just click that little follow button and get our episodes automatically downloaded for you every week. And thanks again for joining us on another episode of Podcast Royal. Bye.
Bye.